Paradise Lost. People are driven to counselors and therapists in a sincere effort to understand how the significant people in their lives have impacted them. Once we understand how a father's abuse or a mother's abandonment affects us, we can better understand why we have trouble expressing emotions, or why we respond to people in ways that are harmful and destructive. Freedom comes through insight into how other people have impacted us. Freedom comes through insight into how other people have impacted us. We cannot understand our story without also understanding the human story. Brothers and sisters, hear me this morning. And we cannot understand the human story without understanding how the two most important people in human history have impacted our lives. More than our parents, more than our siblings, more than philosophers or teachers or politicians or social influencers. We have been impacted by Adam and Jesus. In Adam, we all experience death. But in Jesus, we are offered restoration, liberation from sin and death, and forgiveness with a love that is worth finding. Verse 1 of this chapter reads, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." There was an entire national forest in the state of Oregon that had been infected by a fungus. This fungus began with a microscopic spore, weaving its way through the forest over a period of 2,400 years, killing trees as the fungus grew. Today, this fungus has infected over 2,200 acres of this national forest in Oregon from a single microscopic spore. To bring that closer to home, the coronavirus was the size 1/400th of a strand of hair, and it shut down the entire world. This microscopic virus shut down the entire world so that overnight we put on masks. We disinfected our hands. We stayed indoors. There was no school. There was no travel. The entire economy of the world shut down because of a virus 1/400th of the strand of a human hair. Similarly, Adam's sin opened the door for death, spread like a fungus, like a virus through the entire human race. And Romans 5, verses 12 through 14, focuses on the impact of Adam's story on all of our stories. Paul assumes that his readers are fully acquainted with the biblical account from Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. A bare thumbnail sketch is that God exhaled his breath and Adam inhaled his life. Adam has more than oxygen in him. He had God's breath in him. For when God exhaled, Adam inhaled and became a living soul. What a sterling, stunning creation Adam must have been. Adam was unsullied by greed, uncorrupted by hate, untainted by guilt, unacquainted with fear. And then something happened. Lucifer, the bright sun of the morning, that glowing cherub, came in the garden, slithering in the form of a serpent, and went not to Adam, but to Eve. And Satan says to Eve, God is holding something from you. God is keeping something from you. And that's the beginning of sin. You start to believe that there's got to be something that God does not want you to have. There's got to be something God does not want you to know. There must be something God does not want you in possession of. And with all that God has given us, we want what we can't have. And Satan says to Eve, who did not get instruction, Eve, who was not at church when God gave Adam command, the devil says to Eve, God is not telling you the truth. God knows that when you eat, your eyes will become open and you will be like God. Eve eats, and there's no hurricane. There's no thunder. There's no earthquake. There's no storm. Nothing happens because God did not give her instruction. And she gave it to her husband, who saw that it was good for food. And he willingly ate. And when Adam ate, order became chaos. What was straight went crooked. What was right went wrong, because they are now in possession of knowledge illegitimately. And the minute they eat, they look at themselves and they are ashamed. And they are ashamed because the way they've always been is the way they are now. But the way they are now is tainted with what they should not have been. Because brothers and sisters, with Satan comes rebellion. And with rebellion comes sin. And with sin comes judgment. And then God, as was his usual wont, comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And God calls out to Adam, where are you? Adam said, I'm hiding because I'm naked. God said, who told you that you were naked? You were naked yesterday. What happened today? Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree that I strictly forbade you not to eat? And Adam did what every sinner in here does, even today, shifted the blame. If it hadn't been for that woman you gave, I was doing fine until you brought that woman into my life. Adam shifts the blame to Eve. God comes to Eve, and Eve shifts the blame to the devil. And then God meets out judgment. And Paul teaches us that God deals with the human race under a system known theologically as federalism. Simply put, federalism has to do with representation, with one person standing on behalf of another person. Because we are the seed of Adam's race, we are descendants of his federal headship, we are born with a sin nature, and we have a guilt and a proclivity that makes us run from God. And everybody in here has a tendency to hide. We cover ourselves with the fig leaves of education, as if a degree is not going to make you more educated a sinner. We hide ourselves with the fig leaves of a portfolio financially. All money does is give you more expensive ways to run from God. We cover ourselves with the fig leaves of self-esteem, as if you don't have to go home and take off that mask and look at yourself in the mirror and see how tore up you really are. Everybody in here this morning, if you tell the truth, got a fig leaf you covering yourself with. Because sin has a root. And the root of sin is one man. That one man is Adam. Adam is the root of our sin. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, in sin that our mothers conceive us, because our mothers were sinners before we were born. Our grandmothers were sinners before they were born. It goes all the way back to Adam, because Adam is our federal head. Let me see if I can make that make sense. United States of America, the government of the United States of America, is not in the truest form of the word a democracy. We are a federation. We have a federal government. This coming Tuesday, we will elect people who represent us. They will represent us in Congress, they will represent us in the Senate, and they will represent us as the head of the federal government, as the president. Everybody in here and everybody in the United States don't go to Washington to run it. We send people there to represent us. Likewise, God put Adam in a perfect garden, in a perfect environment, with a perfect woman, with a perfect atmosphere, and Satan comes in to mess it up. And so in Adam, that's where sin has its root. And so it's easy to blame sin on somebody else. It's easy to shift the blame. But all of us stand as representatives in our own sin, because every one of us in here are guilty before God. Every one of us in here are tainted by sin. If you're not sinning, you're thinking about it. And if you're not thinking about it, you thought about it. And if you ain't thinking about it no more, it's because you can't. All sin. See how quiet you got right there? Reverend, I know you ain't talking about me. I ain't never killed nobody. You thought about it. Because Jesus said, you've heard of old, that if you commit adultery, you break the commandment. But I say to you, if you look at a woman with intent in your heart, you've committed the sin already. Now I hear some of you saying, well, since I'm thinking about it, I might as well do it. No, 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 no. That's not what God is saying. What I'm trying to get over to us is all of us have in us a root of sin. Because Adam is our federal representative. We sin because we have a sin nature. But in that same passage, in that same verse, sin has a reality. Look at it again. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. All have sinned. Listen, let me tell you about the reality of this matter of sin. People are not evil because they commit sin. People commit sin because they are evil. You missed that. You're probably going to get that at the next service. People are not evil because they are sinners. People are sinners because they're evil. There is no good thing in us. There is none righteous. No, not even one. Isaiah said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Everything we touch, we taint. Everything we put our hands to, we mess up because we put our hands to it. Let me tell you how insidious sin is. Each of us who were born, and since you're here, you must have been born. Nobody was hatched, I would not imagine. But all of us here who have children, or we've raised children, or have grandchildren, or little small children around us, every child that you are raising, every child that you have given birth to, or every child that comes you come in contact with, if you have children around you, you need to understand this. You are in the house with a savage. Because they are selfish. They are self-centered. They want what they want, when they want it. And if you don't give it to them when they want it, the savage comes out in them. And if they were strong enough, if they were big enough, they would actually murder you. Because they are mad enough to do you bodily harm. They just know that you are bigger than them. And if they get a certain age, like 12, 13, they know you pay the bills. And every one of us in here this morning looked at our mother or our father and got in our minds, you know, I think I can take it. Because that streak is in us from childhood. But if your mother was like my mother, if your father was like my father would look at me and know that I had that look in my eye. And then he gave me the look that took that look out of my eye. Somebody ought to help me preach here. I need somebody here who was raised in a house where your parents were not afraid of you. They knew when you had that look in your eye. And they raise you to knock it out of your eye. I'm running out of time, but let me give you a real illustration that you will really understand. In the larger culture, they will say to little Amber, mommy's going to put you in time out, Amber. Be still, okay? But over here, Sharkeisha, I'll bust you in your face with these paper towels. Anything your mama got in her hand, a pot, some toilet tissue, anything she can put her hands on, you better sit. I brought you in this world. Because we know as parents, we got to get that out of them. And the only way to get it out of them, the Bible says, the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Because there's in each of us a rebellious streak. Sin has its roots. Sin has its reality. But thank God this morning as I hurry, sin has its remedy. Since death came through one man, thank God this morning, life came through another man. Since in Adam all died, in Christ all have been made alive. And I would have stayed in my Adamic nature if my mother and father didn't introduce me to another man. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And I need some help this morning as I close to testify that I was on my way to hell because I had no God in my heart. I had no God on my side. But thank God one day he sent Jesus to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Fig leaves of education won't do it. Fig leaves of money won't do it. God took away those fig leaves and sacrificed an animal so that the blood had to be shed to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. One day, God sent another lamb and shed his blood on the cross, and my sin this morning is covered because Jesus paid it all.